now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have to have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Coop Cooper and an all spy jazz show tonight. I've gone undercover to play the very best spy jazz from yesterday and today as we delve into the world of spy television, talking to Wes Britton, author of the book Spy Television and his website spywise.com. We'll talk to the guitarist on the original James Bond theme, Vic Flick, and the guardian of spy jazz today, Tom Tremblay. Meantime, in the spirit of secrecy, I purchased a cone of silence to host the show in tonight. Okay, perhaps we might just do the show without the cone of silence. Let's kick it off with the song Secret Agent Man. Now, this cover is done by Mel Torme that I want to play for you tonight. The most famous recording of the song was made by Johnny Rivers for the opening titles of the American broadcast of the British spy series Danger Man, which aired in the US from 64 to 66. The song itself peaked at number 3 on the pop charts. Secret Agent Man, Mel Torme, the all-spy show on the Cocktail Nation.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. Everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number and taken away your name. Beware of pretty faces you may find. A pretty face can hide an evil mind. Oh, careful what you say, don't give yourself away. Odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number and taken away your name. Sun and on the Riviera one day, then bleeding in a Bombay alley next day. And if the wrong word slips while kissing persuasive lips, odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number and taken away your name. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number and taken away your name. Only got a number, secret agent man, they've taken away your name. Secret agent, secret agent, he is a spy. Secret agent, bleeding in a Bombay alley.
Cocktail Nation,
another Manhattan, or do you feel like some dinner?
Mr. Templar is having dinner with me.
I am.
Well, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, if Mario will excuse me.
Excuse you? I congratulate you. I will bring the menu.
That won't be necessary, Mario. We're dining at my home. Bring us two Manhattans on me.
The lady spoken, Mario.
It's the Cocktail Nation with Coop Cooper.
Thank you.
Cocktail Nation with our Spy Jazz special tonight, Cyril Stapledon with The Saint. Whilst not technically a spy show, a great theme, and here's my link, the actor would go on to play James Bond, Roger Moore. Good enough? Okay. The Saint was adapted for TV in 1962. Roger Moore played The Saint in 71 black and white and 47 colour episodes. Now, the show came to an end in 69, but later resurfaced in 79. Now, since the publication of his highly acclaimed spy television book in 2004, Dr. Wesley Britton has become an internationally recognized expert on spies in the media, film, and in literature. He's now the author of 3 books on espionage, as well as the writer and editor of the many articles and resources which you can find at spywise.net. Wes joins me tonight on the Cocktail Nation. Now, Wes, how did this interest in spy TV begin for you?
Well, I guess it all comes about because I was there in the 1960s when the big James Bond boom hit, and we had TV spies on every night of the week. We had Man from U.N.C.L.E. and the Avengers and Honey West and I Spy and Wild Wild West, and you keep on going and going.
So really, it was growing up as a child, watching all of these, and I suppose even as an adult, maintaining an interest.
Well, yeah, well, not only did we get the shows, back in those days, there was collectibles out the, yeah, everywhere. We had bubblegum cards and toy guns and lunch boxes and paperback novels and record albums and theme songs that were popular on the radio. It was just very pervasive in culture at the time. So it's kind of, as the years go by, not only do you get memories of the TV shows, but you have all of those wonderful things wrapped up in plastic to sell at conventions. When you get older, do you want to get rid of all the stuff that you've been collecting all these years?
So imagine you have a fair collection of memorabilia from the 60s TV spy shows.
Not only do I have a big collection, part of it's on display at the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. It's kind of interesting to see your childhood under glass, where all these children today can wander by and see your Man from U.N.C.L.E. lunchbox or the prop gun from the TV series on display.
Wes, tell us a little bit about your book, Spy TV.
That was the first history of the genre, because before it, there's all kinds of books about specific shows, Mission Impossible and I Spy, you name them. Some of them got 4 or 5, The Prisoner, The Avengers. You can find 6 or 7 different books. Mm. But nobody had ever looked at the genre from beginning to end, from the 1950s through the heyday of the 1960s, and then going on into how spy shows evolved and changed over the decades. I didn't really start off doing it that way, but that's how it ended up. And that led into a second book, Beyond Bond, Spies in Film and Fiction, and that led into another book, and then I thought it was done with that stuff. But then as time goes by, well, okay, how about another one? So the Encyclopedia TV Spies will be the big kahuna that'll be coming out in January.
Fantastic. We'll talk to you more about that, actually, when the book comes out. We'll have another chat. But I must say, what is the interest? I mean, I know why I like these shows. I mean, I grew up watching Man from U.N.C.L.E., Get Smart. I've always been a big James Bond fan. Getting into lounge music over the last 15 years, I discovered that there was all this great music that went with these films.
Oh, yeah,
as well.
I love them.
Is it just the nostalgia, or do you think that, you know, these are really great storylines that came out back then?
I think there's a number of reasons. You know, part of it was great fantasy. That was the great decade of the Playboy spy, mm-hmm. where you didn't have, these guys didn't have families and kids to worry about, yeah. and trying to, you know, account to the wife whether they got to be gone to Morocco.
Escapism, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, pure escapism. And that was a big part. Plus, they did really do it stylized. Like you mentioned the music and all these different elements combined to make it very, very cool, which is why it really endures, I think. I mean, there's a lot of other shows from the 60s that have their fan bases well enough. I'm sure there's got to be a Beverly Hillbillies convention somewhere.
Yeah, well, there probably would be. That's the thing. Do you tell us, what are your top 5 spy TV movies? What's your top 5,
Wes? Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I've got tons of, on my website. In fact, I got a list of the top 25 movies, and that just goes up till now. It kind of depends on the day of the week, what I'm in the mood for. My top favorite 2 TV shows, kind of going back and forth, would be The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and The Avengers. And then after that, it kind of cascades into, well, do I want a comedy? Well, you got Get Smart. Or do you want something a little bit more gritty and realistic? Well, then it's Evening for Secret Agent. Movies, my goodness, you got everything from the John le Carré variety of The Spy Came in from the Cold. You got good stuff coming out now. Like, are you guys watching Burn Notice Down Under?
I love Bernanos. In fact, I watched it. I watched it just last night. I love the little tips that he gives.
That's a very nice mix of things. It's got, you know, the humor of the old type TV shows, and like you say, yellow's all sides it gives on the spy business. You don't get many shows like that.
What do you think about current ones like, I don't know whether you get this in the United States, but we get it here in Australia. It's quite popular. Spooks.
They call it MI5 here.
Oh, okay. Yep. What do you think of that? Is that too realistic, not enough glamour, or do you still like it?
For A&E, the network that broadcast it, they ran it for a while, and then they just stopped airing it, which is a real shame because Arts Entertainment, well, the network just changed its direction and went away from offering Arts and Entertainment and moved into one of those realistic stuff that people tend to like. Mm. I think MI5 is extremely well done. In fact, if you want to look for the better quality spy series that have happened over the decades, it's usually the Brits that do it.
Yeah.
And they quite often will do it with some grit, with character, with drama. And the Sam Beckers would be another example in that genre. And things that they do on HBO from time to time, like Sleeper Cell, will be in that. But usually if you want really good spy drama, you're probably watching a British show, usually.
Tell us a little bit about the origins of this theme music, because the theme music really has played a big part in the popularity of these shows, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think it kind of grew out of the 50s when the film noir kind of TV shows came out. And you had like Henry Mancini doing Peter Gunn, which isn't a spy show per se, but it had that kind of jazzy, you know, trumpet fanfare, boom, 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 which, you know, gave a kind of a neat groove underneath people walking around.
Yeah.
And in the 60s, it was a good time for TV themes, period. But then you have Mission Impossible, and you have Secret Agent, and The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I still think is a great theme. Mm. I think some of the underrated classics, like Man in the Suitcase, is one of my absolute favorites, The Prisoner. You can go on and on and on, where you can just hear the music. In fact, I did a presentation at the Spy Museum, and the first thing I did was I just played TV themes. Here's a little clip of that. What's the name of the show? Boom, everybody would recognize it.
Yeah.
Hey, here's this, and what's the name of the show? People will get the whole experience just from listening to the theme song.
Yeah, that is so true. That is so true. Well, so we're going to actually talk to Vic Flick tonight, who, of course, is the guitarist for the James Bond theme, the John Barry.
But on The Prisoner, although he forgets he did it.
And we'll also catch up with Tom Tremolo as well from Spyfy, who's reigniting the spy theme genre. Great to talk to you, Wes, and I look forward to talking to you about that new book when it comes out in January.
Well, I appreciate it very much, and I look forward to hearing what Vic and Tom have to say.
The Cocktail Nation.
Flying Girl.
Couldn't help noticing that these are your clothes.
What if they are?
I know you have a headache, but don't take it out on me. What should I do with these?
Just throw them anywhere. I won't be needing them till morning.
The Cocktail Nation. Music for your bachelor pad.
Oh, a gun can be a 22 or a 38, and it will silence you, dear sir. That is a silencer. But if you should see a lady who has the kind of waist that measures 22, and she's 38 where it is great to measure 38, dear sir, she is a silencer. Dear sir, I'm her. I don't use a knife, don't need a gun. My equipment is a lot more deadly, son. Dear sir, I am a silencer. Time. Turn out the light. Take off your shoes. Don't fight. Lean back. Relax, 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 relax. Dear sir.
Cocktail Nation, Coop Cooper broadcasting undercover tonight. My codename, Agent Happy Hour. Now, I'm pretty sure someone was telling me back to the Bend House, but I managed to lose them with some special spy tricks of the trade. Now, we played Vicky Carr with The Silences there from the Matt Helm Dean Martin series, and we kicked off with Laurie Johnson and The Avengers, which is an early example of the spy-fi genre, combining a secret agent storyline with science fiction elements. Great show, running from 61 to 69. It is the longest-running espionage series produced for English language TV, though the American series Mission Impossible actually technically had more episodes. On the line, guitarist, most famous for playing the riff in the James Bond theme. He's worked with many notable artists, including Tom Jones, Eric Clapton, and Jimmy Page. Vic Flick is his name, and we're honored to have him on the show. Vic, these days, Vegas is home for you, I believe.
Well, I am, yes. We've been here for about 6 years. We do have a little apartment in Santa Monica, but Vegas is great. We've got everything that we want around the corner, you know, entertainment, the best guys. Tom Jones comes in and says hi, and we live in a house where it's kind of quiet. If we want it to be quiet, we can. If we want to party, we can. So that's why we like Las Vegas, and come and visit.
Vic, tell us a little bit about your musical past. I mean, obviously, we're going to talk about the James Bond thing, but tell us a little bit about the initial music career of Vic Flick.
Well, yeah, I started off kind of when I was young, really. I started playing piano from about the age of 5 till 14, and I got quite good at that. And then there was a band started up in the street, and my father was in it, and he played piano, so we couldn't have two pianists. So the neighbor brought in a guitar, and I practiced like hell and caught up with them, and I played guitar in the band. And then things developed. I was doing gigging around and doing dances and parties and stuff like that in the south of London. And then And I suppose it kind of developed from that, because my brother played saxophone and violin, and then we'd formed a band together. We used to, and then we tried to get into like a local camp, yeah, like a sort of a Club Med, or, you know, it's like a holiday camp. And we got the job, and one of the guys who got us the job had the big band in the camp, and I was doing broadcasts with him, and then I came back to London, carried on doing the broadcast and met other people, kind of got into sessions, met a guy called Bob Court, who run the Skiffle Group, and he got this tour with Paul Anker. We did his first ever European tour, and on the bill on this tour was John Barry 7.
Yeah.
And I got on kind of very well with John Barry, and we made friends, and when the tour finished, and then suddenly about 6 weeks, 7 weeks later, I got this phone call saying, would I join the band? Because he knew that I could read music on the guitar, and he got these couple of TV shows that he had to accompany artists on. And that's how I came to work with John Barry. And of course, then John Barry got to do this James Bond theme, and we sort of went from there, really. I mean, it was kind of busy before that, but that was kind of a turning point.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a turning point at the time when we recorded it. It was just kind of a rush job, because the Broccoli, Cubby Broccoli and his guy, was it Saltzman, were running out of money, so it was kind of desperation that they got John Barry in to sort of organise and arrange the theme tune in the sort of a pop medium, and that's what happened. It was kind of a rush job, but it led on to greater things, and
yeah.
Here I am talking to the man in Australia about James Bond.
Tell us, when you did the recording for the James Bond theme, how much... was there any interpretation by you, or was it all simply, you know, here's the sheet music, off we go, or did you manage to work in a little bit of your own interpretation?
No, it was because, prior to that, Cooper, John Barry and myself got together around his apartment in London. We were talking about how we were going to do it, and
yeah.
Initially he was kind of thinking about a higher tone guitar, and I said, well, let's take it right down the office and... The octave and put it to the lower E string and make it sound really gutsy and booty, you know, which was the kind of the style Duane Eddy, I think, was going around at the time. So we did that, and the way I played it gave it that sort of urgency and his arrangement, and it's one of those things that has stood the test of time. It is 1962, and now it's 2008, so that's, what is that, 46 years ago or something?
Yeah.
I never thought I'd be talking about it or even involved with it in after all that time, but I've worked on some James Bond films since then. I think the last one I did was last one with Michael Kamen.
Right.
And it's been something that's certainly affected my life. In fact, I've written a book which is coming out this August.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. What's the name of the book?
The name of the book is called From James Bond to the Beatles and Beyond.
Wow.
Because I did some work with the Beatles and Paul McCartney on his album Thrillington, which nobody seems to know about, and other bits and pieces where I drop by and put some guitar on. But the James Bond stuff, of course, and all the other recordings that I did with Tom Jones and Engelbert Humperdinck, and when Nancy Sinatra, when she came over, I did a Nancy in London album with her, and many, many other things, which in the book it sort of kind of talks all about that.
Well, I imagine you've got some good stories to tell too, which we can look forward to in the book.
I do indeed, yes. Yes, I don't know exactly how it can get hold of it in Australia, but I know in Australians they can get hold of anything if they want.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I'm sure it'll be available on Amazon for importation, or certainly I'm sure it will be in the stores here in Australia.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you'll be able to get hold of it, yeah, or something, I think.
Now, Vic, you've actually made a re-entry into the world of spy jazz, playing with Spy-Fi and our good friend Tom Tremlo recently on the Black Tie Spy album.
He's a great guy. We meet up and we talk about things, and in fact, I recorded this number with him, which was called the Black Tie Spy. And I imagined it as a rather sophisticated James Bond character, but then he managed to put a black tie on a rather luscious-looking woman, which obviously is his scent.
And I'll tell you what, it is a great single. We've been playing it here on the Cocktail Nation regularly, and I've received a stack of emails about it, so it's certainly going over a treat. Apart from working with Tom, what are you doing these days to keep yourself busy?
Well, I'm doing some composition. I do lots of what's called library music. I sort of turn out music which publishers take, and then they put it out in, throughout the production companies.
Yep.
And things. And I get music on, play on the Oprah show and Truck in the USA, and the stuff turns up on the BBC in England, and I don't know whether it gets to Australia. I've had some returns from Australia on this. But it keeps me busy, and it, I sort of kind of play now for my own amazement, if you know what I mean. There's a couple of blues clubs around which I go out and do a few blues numbers with them, which I enjoy, and I'm still not a kid anymore, so I do it at my own pace, Coop, you know what I mean?
Good to see you. Vic, fantastic to talk to you. We're going to catch up with Tom a little bit later on. Great to talk to you. It's been fantastic to find out the inside story behind the 007 theme and what you've been doing. And we're certainly looking forward to your book coming out, that's for sure.
Thanks very much, Coop. It's been good to talk with you. And one day, if I ever get to Aussie, I'll certainly look you up.
Agent 86.
86, report to headquarters immediately.
Just a minute, who is this?
This is the chief. Who else would be calling you on your shoe?
Bachelor Nation and the All Spy Show. Hugo Montenegro with the theme from Get Smart. Now, the show aired on NBC television from 65 to 69, after which it moved to CBS for its final season, running until 1970. A total of 138 episodes were broadcast, and the show was hugely popular in the mid-60s. I grew up watching it in the mid-70s and early 80s, and it continues to have a cult following today. Rerun around the world in syndication. The series won 7 Emmy Awards and was nominated for an additional 14, as well as 2 Golden Globe Awards. Now, joining me tonight, the guardian of modern spy jazz, Tom Tremlow from SpyFi.
Hey, greetings from Cleveland, Ohio. How you doing?
Good. How's things in SpyFi world these days?
Oh, it's great. We're getting a lot of attention on the new CD, and we're working on some new stuff for the next album.
Superb. Now, we want to talk to you about spy music, because obviously you, along with Wes Britton and Vic Flick, are experts. One of the things that you've drawn my attention to is in spy music, there is not just the themes, but there's also the underlying themes within a TV show, isn't there?
Correct. There's many themes that are an extension of the theme that we're all familiar with, or some different form of it, plus additional tracks that supplement and augment the storyline.
Give us an example.
One of my favorites is the Peter Gunn series from the late 50s. Henry Mancini was involved with that, and he wrote a number of tracks. In fact, RCA, I think it was, put out 2 albums. One was called Peter Gunn. The other was More Music from Peter Gunn. And I bet you there was maybe 24 tracks total. And they would use these different tracks to set mood or augment the mood and the storyline as the lead character was going through whatever script they had for that week. So that music, in my opinion, became integral to telling the story, just like with the James Bond theme, the work that John Barry did. You know, he would take a theme and then play it in different styles. He might do it in calypso. He might do it in a twist 60s sort of groovy hip happening style, or the big band orchestra. So he would write different songs and also take one theme and explore it in different contexts.
Because it can really punctuate a scene, can't it? I mean, really emphasize. I mean, you know, somebody's creeping up on somebody with a gun. You know, the right type of music can make it, can't it?
Exactly. My significant other always says that when the James Bond theme comes on, it's the James Bond theme danger music, because you know something bad is going to happen. And you're absolutely right. It gets you in the mood, and that's what really attracted me to all of this music. And that's why I pursued it so heavily.
Now, for us tonight, you've got an example of this theme music that was used in the Peter Gunn album. Can you introduce the track? We'll play it now.
Oh, sure. This is called Walking Bass, and it's from the More Music from Peter Gunn album. And I can remember it. I have a few of the DVDs of the Peter Gunn series, and I know that it was used many, many times.
Okay, here we go. Walking Bass, okay. Mancini.
The Cocktail Nation, thanks to Gillette. Thank you.
Cocktail Nation, Coop Cooper with our All Spy Show, and Henry Mancini with Walk and Bass. We are talking to Tom Tremlow from Spyfy. Now, Tom, we've been talking about the underlying music in Spyfy and how it can punctuate a scene.
The latest album, Black Tie Spy, took a different approach from the prior albums that we did, which were pretty much our interpretations of the great spy theme.
Yeah.
But as I had mentioned, and what we're talking about tonight, is that my fascination was with two things: how the music helped the script improve and develop, as well as taking one theme, like the James Bond theme, and playing it in different styles and different genres. And those are two avenues that we'll be exploring in Spyfy on our next album.
Look forward to that. Tell us, as far as your favorites are concerned in the spy genre, what are your faves? What do you enjoy watching?
You know, of course, I mentioned Henry Mancini and John Barry. They really were the two that got me going. But some others that people may not be aware of, if they look out and seek out the work that was done for Man from U.N.C.L.E.,
yep,
you'll find that a composer named Jerry Goldsmith wrote that music, and the producers for Man from U.N.C.L.E. hired all the local kids that were around. Jerry Goldsmith, Lalo Schifrin. I never knew that Lalo Schifrin, the man who wrote Mission Impossible, was writing the types of music that we're talking about. They were, again, scene supporters, and they were included on the album, and Hugo Montenegro was the conductor and arranger for these songs. So all those guys were doing that type of work. They were studio musicians as well as composers that were floating around, I would imagine, Hollywood or L.A. at that time. So Goldsmith is one that's really good to listen to as well. Lalo Schifrin.
Hugo features on a lot of things, doesn't he?
He's also associated with Planet of the Apes, and he also did the first Star Trek movie. So he had, you know, a wide, diverse career, but the thing that I really liked besides Man from U.N.C.L.E. was he was involved with the In Like Flint series.
Really?
That whole Lee Marvin, James Coburn type of approach to James Bond.
Wow. Now, speaking of James Bond, spoke to Vic Flick earlier. Of course, Vic Flick was involved in the Black Tie Spy album. That must have been pretty special to have him involved in your album.
It's a great honor, Coop. I can't tell you how happy and excited I was to have him say, hey, let's record something together. And the way that transpired was he blocked out a song and sought our input, and we arranged it and added some other pieces. So it's a collaborative effort, and we recorded the basic tracks here. We shipped those off to him, and then he overdubbed his parts and then had it mastered or mixed and mastered, and then it became part of our album. And it's a legend. He's a legend, and it's amazing. I still can't believe it to this day that I got a chance to meet a hero. It's really cool.
I'm looking forward to his book when it comes out. That is going to be fascinating, I gotta tell you.
I can't wait, because he has told me a number of stories. One that I might share, he was in London in the mid-60s. It's my understanding that there was, I don't know, maybe a dozen studio guitarists. And of course, you had to read music.
Yeah.
And or else you didn't get the work. But Vic was a, you know, successful working studio musician. But for the rocky, the rock stuff and the more modern hip stuff, they would call this young kid in, and his name was Jimmy Page.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Yeah, and Jimmy Page came into a session, and there's Vic sitting, and Page sat down next to Vic, and they worked out, you know, Jimmy Page said, hey, what are we doing today? Because I guess he was running a few minutes late. They went over it, and, you know, they would call Jimmy Page to do the more modern stuff, and can you imagine that? That's pretty amazing to me.
It's incredible.
I can't wait to hear more stories out of Vic's new book.
Yeah, I have a feeling he's got a lot of stories. Tom, fantastic to talk to you. And
always a pleasure.
We look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you so much, Coop, and hello to all your listeners, and sometime come to Cleveland and visit us.
We will do. Okay, I think it's appropriate, since we've been talking about Vic, we've been talking about Spy Fire, and we've been talking about Spy Jazz, I think we should play Black Tie Spy.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Cocktail Nation Spy Special this week with Al Kiola, Man from U.N.C.L.E., one of the very best TV spy shows, I think, well, in my humble opinion at least. Ran from 64 to 68, Napoleon Solo, what a character. And I must say, thank you very much to listener David Russell, who got in touch after hearing about the spy special last week, to tell me about his website, spyboproyale.com. A superb website dedicated to spy jazz. Now, you just have to check this out. Some TV shows that I've forgotten about on this website, some great album covers, the history of spy jazz. It has got everything. If you want to learn more, this is the website to go to, spyboproyale.com. David also sent me a song by the Four Esquires on the Terrace Records label, he tells me. Arranged and conducted by Bill Rummel, produced by Jack Gold, and lyrics by S. Roberts. Dave tells me that it's probably from around 62 or 63. It was a promotional copy, so it was probably never actually released. Here they are with their version of the James Bond theme.
Section 3.5, the cone of silence. To activate, simply lower the cone and speak clearly.
What?
Do not overuse the cone of silence.
What?
Do not shout in the cone of silence.
What?
In fact, don't even use the cone of silence.
What?
It's never worked right. I don't know why we bought it in the first place. Section 3.6, the portable cone of silence.
Tail Nation.
What?
Thank you.
frightening.
Look out, Dan.